Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening. Great episode this week. We've got Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football, followed by Traina Thoughts, as always, here on the SI Media Pod. Kyle discusses many topics, including his audition with Peyton and Eli Manning for the Monday night alternate telecast. We also discuss Nate Burleson leaving Good Morning Football, what the show's going through with that. Kyle pulls back the curtain and gives us a lot of behind-the-scenes details on the awesome Jared and Trent sketch that him and Peter Schrager did last week. And we get into a bunch of other things with Kyle, who's always great right here on the SI Media Podcast. And then in Traina Thoughts, Sal and I discuss a couple of topics, including the Many Saints of Newark, which we both watched, and we share our thoughts and opinions on that Sopranos prequel. If you like the pod, please subscribe and leave a review on Apple. I didn't read any reviews on this week's episode, but I will be reading reviews next week. So leave a review on Apple, 5 stars, and I will read it and give you a shout out on next week's pod. And as always, subscribe. Before we get to Kyle, one last note. If you've missed any recent episodes of the SI Media Podcast, go into the archives and check them out. Stephen A. Smith from ESPN was on the pod last week. Got a lot of great feedback on that interview. AEW star Bryan Danielson, formerly known as Daniel Bryan, and Andrew Marchand were on the SI Media Podcast 2 weeks ago. Jimmy Kimmel 3 weeks ago with Cousin Sal, and Tony Romo was on this podcast 4 weeks ago. If you missed any of those interviews, check them out, subscribe to the pod, and leave a review. All right, let's get to this week's episode with Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football, followed by Traina Thoughts. All right, joining me now. Always feels like this is not work when I get to have Kyle Brandt on the SI Media Podcast from Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt on Spotify, Frogger on Peacock, and he's added yet another job, which we'll get into. Kyle, the very busy Kyle, how are you?
Jimmy, am I your Al Roker? Do you know what I mean by that?
Al Roker?
Yes, meaning when Conan was doing his show on NBC, it'd be, oh my God, 16 minutes before the show, Jessica Biel dropped out. Get Al to get in the elevator and be a guest for him. We always can do a segment with Al. Am I your Al, and don't lie?
The comparison I would have made is I would have called you my Regis for okay. Letterman. Because when Letterman always needed a guest, he went to Regis.
Is that true? Regis was Letterman's Al Roker.
Yes. So I think of you more of a Regis. But I've said this to you before. If it was up to me, I'd have you on every week. I always enjoy chatting with you. It doesn't feel like work. But this is actually a great time to chat with you because you're in the middle of a lot of things, which is good. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk about Wall Streeters from a week ago, which was the greatest thing ever. So there's a lot going on. But I mentioned at the top, you have all these jobs. Good Morning Football. Mm-hmm. And your podcast with Spotify, 10 Questions, just came out for the third season. Eli Manning was a guest, which we have to get into that. You're doing Frogger on mm-hmm. Peacock. And now there is another job in the mix, the NFL Today on CBS. Is this accurate?
Very accurate. This coming Sunday, week 5 of the NFL season, I will be appearing on the NFL Today, the venerable pregame show. James Brown, Boomer, Phil, Coach Cower, my brother Nate. And I will be making my debut appearance first, definitely, last, possibly. But then I'm going to go in. I got about 90 seconds. I'm going to unload the bag, Jimmy. You know what I do? It is, I think it's probably the biggest television audience that I will ever be in front of in my career. So I'm going to try to make a mark.
Don't disrespect the real world Chicago. Please,
you know all those people who do the numbers and the sports TV ratings and stuff. I wonder what the season premiere of Real World Chicago did in the 2002. I don't think it's NFL Today numbers, but we did rate that season.
I will bet you it's actually not that far behind because back then there were no streaming services and cable was a big deal. I mean, MTV, I mean, you know, MTV was a huge, I mean, everyone our age, that's what we watched all day long. Basically.
I know, I hit it on the bullseye. The end of that, TRL golden age for MTV spring break. And sure enough, there's me in my underwear in a hot tub with Anissa. It was a hell of a time.
Remote Control and so many good shows.
Yeah.
Will you be in studio for NFL Today?
That is not the plan. The plan is, you know me, Jimmy, it's good this time of year because we're 5 weeks into the season and there's some really strong entities in the league, people, teams, whatnot, that are beaten down and seem to be falling apart. I'm going to go in and bring them up and raise them up and say, God damn it, pull yourself up. You are maybe a Hall of Famer. You're better than this. You're not just going to circle the drain. And we're thinking about doing some sort of boxing theme. You know, the boxing thing is funny because for so long of our lives, maybe it's just the last 10 years, boxing has been looked at this dinosaur from our grandparents' era and then our era when we were kids watching Mike Tyson and stuff. But now boxing is massive amongst the TikToks because of the Paul brothers and all that stuff. So boxing is so hot. You have the bookends of older people who remember Ali as kids, and then you and me who were watching Lennox Lewis and Tyson, and now 16-year-olds are all about boxing. So we're going to try to take that concept and put it into some motivational strategies for some people in the NFL today.
Looking forward to that.
Thanks, me too.
I didn't, you know, when I heard you on the NFL today, I didn't make the connection that you'll be reunited with Nate, obviously, who left Good Morning Football. How are you doing without Nate at the table?
It's doing well. It's, you know, it is a little bit like Jeopardy. Like it's a rotating host, and every single week you kind of start over anew. And we've had this grab bag of people. So, you know, it's Peter and Kay and myself, like it's been since August 1st, 2016. And then on a given week, you know, you get an email at night and you're saying, oh, wow, all right, Golden Tate's going to be in tomorrow, or Matt Cassel, or D'Angelo Hall, or Michael Robinson, who we know better because they're with the network. But it's pretty cool. It's going well. And I get asked the question all the time from, you know, people on Twitter or just, you know, my wife, Brooke, and she'll be like, so what are they going to do? What is the choice going to be? My answer is always, I don't know. And it is a very, very difficult spot to fill, Jimmy, not only because of the obvious chemistry deal and the obvious, you know, work we've had behind us with Nate. It's just like, so we're looking for an ex-player. You got to be an ex-player. This is the NFL Network. You can't have a show with four. It's just not the way we do business here. And so you got to find an ex-player who not only wants to get up at 4:30 in the morning every single day to go to a table to talk with three people who did not play in the NFL and are going to tell him his opinion is wrong. You also have to have that ex-player live in the New York, New Jersey area. And, you know, Jimmy, there's a lot of charismatic, wonderful ex-players who can talk some ball and do TV. And they're thinking, you know, I made roughly $24 million in my career. I have 2 acres outside of Scottsdale and my kids are here. And I have an infinity pool the size of Jerry World. I don't know if I'm moving to Jersey to talk with those three nudniks on Good Morning Football. So it's hard, man.
Yeah. I'm always surprised by which NFL players want to get into sports media. Like right now, for instance, this season, like Julian Edelman's doing inside the NFL. Like Julian Edelman, all those Super Bowl rings, more money than he needs. I'm sure like you want to get into sports media. Why don't you enjoy yourself for a little? It's always surprising to me which guys want to get into it.
I think it's shocking to me. I watch these people, whoever it may be, the Charles Woodson or Randy Moss or whoever. And I'm always like, God damn, don't you just want to fish all day and like play with your kids? Like, it seems fun. You're out there, you're talking, you're standing on Lambeau Field talking, but like there's production meetings and Zooms and all this nonsense that you and I have to do. And we don't have their talent and their financial security. Why do you do it? And ultimately the answer always comes back to like, I like working and I like football. And I'm like, I can't relate because I feel like Jimmy, if you were to come to me tomorrow and be like, there's $30 million cash in the bank for you right now. I'm like, I'm spending the next 60 years on beaches and boats and maybe I'll do charitable work. I'm not going to work and do Zooms. Goddamn, but they do.
And I'm deleting my Twitter account.
Oh, it's over. Forget about it. It's over.
Yeah. This is actually a perfect segue into probably, I mean, the biggest story in the NFL this season seems to be Peyton and Eli.
Yeah.
And I say it's a perfect segue because they're doing 10 weeks of Monday night. They're on this hiatus now till week 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been told by numerous people, confirmed by people inside that, you know, they just don't want to work 17 weeks. You know, there were people on Twitter when the break was announced who were like, oh, ESPN bungled this. ESPN didn't bungle anything. They don't want to do 17 weeks. It has nothing to do with ESPN. So it's interesting that we're talking about players getting into it, but they're doing it on their terms, which is pretty great. You tried out to be a host with them, and then obviously they decided no host, just the two of them. Anything you can share about that experience? What you knew, you know, are you surprised it's been such a success and what that was all like for you?
Well, you know, there was from the get-go of this whole thing of me potentially joining them, there's always been a massive amount of discretion and confidentiality, not only from Omaha Productions, which is the Manning Brothers company, but ESPN. It's always been very much on the down low. So I really respect that, and I will continue to respect it. But Jimmy, I was wildly flattered to be approached. Now, let's bear this in mind. I'm not an ESPN employee. I never have been. I've never even been to Bristol. And they reached out to me to say, Peyton and Eli are going to do Monday Night Football. They're going to do an alternative broadcast. I was like, wow, that's pretty prestigious. That's cool. Those guys will be great. And they're like, we're thinking we might want a third person. And we're interested in you being that third person. And so, I mean, that was incredible. I was loved it. I said, of course, I'm in. What do you have to do? What coals do I have to walk over to be part of this? And so there was some feeling out meetings, a couple phone calls, and then we just did a straight up audition, myself with Peyton, with Eli, and we did a game. And we did a game from last year because the season hadn't started yet. And this is what I'll tell you. When it ended, one of the executives who was running the thing, I called me right afterwards, and they said to me, what do you think? And it wasn't me saying it to them. The executive said, what do you think? And I said, the hype is real. They don't need a host. They don't need a third person. I think you should just do it with the two of them. Now, typically you would go the other way and say, well, you know, I think I found my spots and I made some jokes and I'm able to put them in a good position. And I just didn't. I couldn't BS it. It was in the first, if we did 30 minutes, by about minute five, I was like, oh my God, Peyton is amazing. And we've watched Peyton our whole life. We know what his deal is and how funny he is and how smart he is and the football acumen. I'd never seen him like this because, you know, back then, even before he was on TV, he was still in like prove it mode. It was the first time I think he'd ever really gone up and tried this thing in some sort of form. And he was just fastball, 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 toss to Eli, Eli, interesting comment, funny joke, back to Peyton, fastball, fastball. Like every single thing that he said was insightful about football, interesting, original, funny. It's all the things that game broadcast crews get accused of not being anymore. And so it ended. I got a thrill out of it, and I'll tell my great grandkids that I did it someday. But emphatically afterwards, I was saying, I'm not part of this. No one is part of this. You can find anybody in the world. It is Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, and that is it. And sure enough, they agreed with me.
Yeah, it's funny because the first show they did for the first half, you know, they got off to a rocky start for 5 minutes, basically. And after 5 minutes, they found their footing.
I know.
When, you know, Peyton was put on the helmet and the whiteboard or whatever. But for the first show, the first half of the first show, I think I even tweeted, I said, they do need some sort of host as a traffic cop because it was a little disjointed going to breaks and transitions. But then I quickly realized, you know what? They don't even need that because you just can't have the way it's played out. You can't have anyone interfering with them. You really couldn't. So it makes sense that they didn't end up having a host.
Yeah,
I mean, I would have loved for you to have gotten the gig, but it ended up making sense the way they did it.
It felt, Jimmy, like Peyton and Eli came out for their first series of the game and like just needed a few snaps. Maybe they punted on that series, go to the sideline, figure it out, and then come back and just chucking it all over the place. I also think, look, yeah, of course I would have liked to be part of that thing. It's the biggest thing in sports media right now. However, you know, my wife and I were talking about this when we were watching it, just so amused and everything. She's like, I think this is for the best. Imagine if they had thrust you in there, you might have ended up a dartboard. People might have been like, why is that guy there? Don't ever talk. Why
That's
is
a really
he
good
talking?
Point.
In, you know, even I don't need to pose questions to Peyton about like they do that themselves. I think it could have gone really badly. So blessing in disguise.
That's a really good point. Plus, also, would you have been, one of the things that's making this work is the way they're busting each other's balls. Could you have done that? You know, they're brothers. They could, you know, I think in the first episode, Eli mocked Peyton for a bad prediction and called him Tony Romo. He called out his pit stains. Like, could you have done that? You know, you don't know really.
Well, that's a funny thing. Like, I am there's so many people who have relationships. Like we know that Michael Strahan is very close with Jay Glazer. Like they go way back, and Glazer wrote the book and stuff like that. I don't have that with Peyton and Eli. Like when Peyton tries to put the helmet on, my natural instincts, you know me, is I'm going to make a joke about his big head. But like he might be like, screw you, whoever you are. Like, you don't know me. Like, we don't have a backstory. We don't have that at all. So again, that would have gone weird places.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could do that with Schrager and make fun of him. Are you going to make fun of Peyton Manning? And you know,
no, I make fun of Nate. Yeah. Like that's simple. Yeah. I've done that for 5 years, but like, I'm not making the big head joke. And if I'm not making the big head joke, then what am I doing there to talk about the cover two? Like, no, he'll do that.
They should have Jan as a guest 1 week, just as a courtesy.
Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah. And then Eli, speaking of the Peyton and Eli show, Eli is your first guest on season 3 of 10 Questions, your podcast with Spotify, which is not your typical, you know, there's 8 trillion podcasts out there. This one's a little different where you do questions, 10 questions that have to do with the person's career and life. Mm-hmm. I saw the clip yesterday. I actually, it was posted in Train of Thoughts on Wednesday, if people want to go back, nice. Of Eli talking about the Dirty Dancing commercial with Odell Beckham. I thought that was really, I mean, that again, you're seeing the side of Eli that, you know, you didn't know if it was there or you didn't see it often, but you know, he had that line to you about he saw Dirty Dancing way too many times than he would care to admit. Throughout the process of the Peyton Eli show and then doing the podcast, did you change your opinion of Eli, or did you always know this was a funny dude, or what has Eli changed for you over these experiences?
I had a casual social meeting with Eli that I was very excited for. And everyone afterwards, you know, which again, just my wife and, you know, my brother or whoever, they'd be like, oh my God. So like, what's Eli like? And I'm like, he's exactly like you think. He's Eli. He's very friendly and polite and soft-spoken. And he likes, you know, some like childish humor, and he likes pranks, and like, everything I expected. It was everything I hoped it would be. And then when he came on 10 questions, like, you know, I gotta be honest, Jimmy, like I took him to some places that like, I don't think he was expected to go. All these years later, like I said to him, all right, so Eli, what was the deal? You straight up just refused to play for the Chargers. That was crazy. No one has done that since. We're in the era of player empowerment like we've never seen in history. And still, everybody said Joe Burrow should not play for the Bengals. You had the balls to say, no, I don't care if you draft me. I'll sit out. Where did that come from? And, you know, we talked a lot about, was it his agent? What is his dad? And he's like, listen, it was me. I had done my research and like, I wasn't going to be a Charger. And it was just fascinating, man, because when that stuff comes out, or when we talked shit, vaccine stuff, and would you have accepted money for endorsements if you're a freshman at Ole Miss? Like, we went to some pretty serious places, and Eli's just such a gentleman and like such a senator, you know, a benevolent senator, that like it was fun.
Do you have any other upcoming guests you want to tease for the people out there?
Yeah, I got this.
Because you usually don't just have athletes. You usually have some celebrities mixed in. So I don't know if there's anyone.
I have a wannabe celebrity coming up in a few weeks. This guy, this jerk off named Nate Burleson. no, Nate's coming on, and we finally got into all the stuff I've always wanted to talk to him about on Good Morning Football, but we did on the podcast. To your point, Dennis Quaid came on, and here's what's interesting about that as pertains to this podcast. We got into a debate about who is the sports movie king, and Costner often wears that crown. And we started saying, now hold on, Costner's got some home runs. Like, he has at least 2 500-foot home runs, but Quaid has like a lot of doubles and a lot of base hits. And it's almost like Costner is the Hank Aaron of sports movies, and Quaid might be the Pete Rose. So we debated that, and he has a rivalry with Costner, so he talks some shit too.
That's interesting. See, the name that comes to my mind immediately, and if you're watching this on YouTube, it's not because of the shirt you're wearing, but I immediately think of Sylvester Stallone, because you can make the argument that Rocky is the greatest sports movie of all time. If you make that argument, no one is going to.
Jimmy,
I think
the Wi-Fi broke up. You said Rocky IV, right? Is the greatest sports movie of all time? It must have been what you said, right?
Rocky I, the one that won the Academy Award. But no, but my point is, every Rocky, he has 5 Rockies under. Is it 5 or 6?
No,
I don't
he's
even
got
know
like
now.
7 now.
Right. But let's take the first movies. 4. Like, the first 4 to me count as 4 sports movies that he did, mm-hmm. and those are all 4 legendary sports movies. So I think he should be right in that mix with Costner and...
Didn't he also did that soccer movie about the Nazis, right? Isn't that something he did back in the day? And plus, like, Sly is in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Like, I don't think Costner is in Cooperstown. I wouldn't imagine, right? But he's a Boxing Hall of Famer.
Yeah. We've got to talk about Wall Streeters. Now, let me give a little background if anyone listening to this doesn't know what's going on here. So several years ago, Peter and Kyle, Peter Schrager, would go out onto the streets of Lower Manhattan and spoof The Wolf of Wall Street and do a bit. They became these characters, Jared and Trent, and would talk about the NFL like these two jerk-offs would, as you said earlier. And unfortunately, Jared and Trent disappeared for a long time because of the pandemic. Couldn't go out onto the streets of New York. They made a return last week with the single greatest Jared and Trent sketch ever. It was 7 minutes long. Everyone on Twitter loved it. We're going to play now a 30-second clip. I don't know how you feel about hearing
Fire
yourself.
In the hole.
Yeah. Shelby, can you play just the 30-second clip, please, of Wall Streeters from last week?
Your boy Trent can relate to Mr. Matthew Stafford. Gideon's how we call it a fresh start. The Lions were just his starter wife. And when the Rams landed him, they might as well have been wearing Dune by Christian Dior and some yoga pants. Works on me. Plus, Stafford likes Robert Woods on third down, so we both know what it's like to trust a Trojan. Lastly, I love Cooper Kupp. I love his brother Stanley Kupp. I love his dog Peanut Butter Kupp. And I'm sliding into the DMs of his Aunt Dee. Hit me back, baby. Rams, Rams, thank you, man. Bye.
I can't tell you how many questions I have right now. At least like 700. First of all, I wonder how many people got the Aunt Dee. I mean, just a brilliant line.
Thank you.
All right, let me start with this. How long do you need to come down when you're done with that sketch?
So we go out on the street at the base of our building, which is very tall down here in the financial district. We don't have time to come down, meaning the second it ends and Trent runs off to Luger's and Jared says, we're going to Luger's and they don't take credit cards. And 3, 2, 1, we're out. Good Morning Football is a live show, and it's not taped. Then they immediately come over and grab us, our crew members and our staff, and we have to go like bolt it like a city block down into the lobby of the building through security to the elevators. We're rolling up the elevator. I'm still breathing deep, and Peter's so happy and so excited about how the segment went, and God bless him. The elevator doors open, and we actually have to jog to the set because they're like, 30 seconds, 30, because like, you know, the next segment is like, can Matthew Stafford get over the hump? Blah, 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 blah. And we have to sit down with Kay and who was ever in the Nate seat. So there is no come down. You see us fresh, a real actual 3 minutes after Trent ripped his shirt off. He is at the table, 50, you know, however many floors that we are up, talking about Matthew Stafford. So I don't have a chance to come down, and it just gets poured into the next segment.
Now, what about before the sketch? Is there a Red Bull involved? Is there a Dan Campbell coffee order involved? How do you get up for that?
I just do it, Jimmy. Like, I get asked that about normal segments on Good Morning Football. Like, where does that energy come from? How much blow are you doing?
Well, that was
How
7 minutes long, though. I mean, that's
I know.
That's pretty heavy.
Honestly, it's – dude, it's so exciting to do. It's such a thrill to do. And to go out in the city on the street, like it's not some dumb set or it's not like an alley. We're on one of the main streets right there across from a fire station and a biz. And we're right there in the middle of the street. We don't have security. We don't have barricades. There's no one holding people off. Anybody can walk through the live shot and do whatever they want. The air's a little crisp. The energy is crisp. There's so much natural adrenaline when we're going down the elevator and we got our shirts on and my sunglasses and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. It's like entering the arena. We've done 1,300 episodes of Good Morning Football. Nothing gets me as excited and as happy as doing the Wall Streeters. So I don't need the Red Bull. I'm drunk on the atmosphere that we do it in. It's the financial center of the world. And we're screaming about the Lions were Matthew Stafford's starter wife. Like, it's so fun.
It was great, too, because if anyone saw the clip, if you haven't seen it, you can find it on YouTube or Kyle's Twitter or Good Morning Football's Twitter. At the end of that cut we played, there was a cop car. Did they say something to you?
No, but I actually, I regret that. I should have done better with that. When the squad car pulled up in the shot, I should have had a better line about they're coming to take me away, or they finally cut up with me, or my ex-wife sent them. Like, I was, I don't actually think that was my A game. There's a couple of things I could have done differently. And that squad car was just a gift, an absolute gift. And I should have had a better line. Next time I will.
All right. I'm going to ask you to pull back the curtain. And if you want to, if you don't want to pull back the curtain on some of these, you don't have to.
Okay.
You know. How many people are involved in writing that? Because the writing is brilliant. Even just a line like, you know, because it was the first one you did, like I said, post-pandemic, you have a line in there, I'm vaxxed and waxed. How many people are involved in writing it?
Just me. Just me. And it's not...
Schrager, no?
Peter doesn't... No, well, Peter handles his content. And Peter, like, kind of, his is much shorter. I don't write anything for Peter. Peter handles
everything. You write that all by yourself?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Listen, I've been through many jobs in different industries where there's a lot of writing for the talent and there's not a lot of writing for the talent, but it's a lot of work. I don't wing it. I don't just come up with some stuff on the elevator ride down. I put a lot of thought into it, and even more so this one, because we weren't able to go outside because of restrictions for 2 years. The last Wall Streeters that we did was on the beach in Miami before the Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl. That's the last one we did. And it was, you know, whatever it is, 18 months ago, 19 months ago. So because of that, I have a file on my phone that just says Trent. And I add things periodically that I just think like, oh man, Trent would say that, or Trent would do this. And I write, I have things that I said in that last segment that I put in this file 9 months ago, a year and a half ago, and I said them. And I'll just be thinking, I'll be like, you know, everyone's getting, you know, their vaccine shots or whatever. And I'm like, man, you know, Trent would like steal his grandfather's ID to get an early vaccine appointment.
Yes.
I'm going to write that down. And so I wrote down Trent steals grandfather's ID. Trent, at one point I was having a martini and I was shaking the martini myself. And I had, I was like, Trent would put creatine in his martini so he can get drunk and jacked at the same time. So my point is, that was 2 years of collecting items like that to put into the file. And so this was like, it was just emptying the bag with everything. It was so fun.
So how, I mean, so you're saying you worked on it for 2 years, but in essence though, how long did it take you to write that your part of that 7 minute sketch?
Well, to the next time we do it, which will probably be in a few weeks, you know, Trent and Jared are like Peyton and Eli. We're not every week. We got to space it out because.
But I'm saying for that one, were you writing it out the night before? You have to have that done a few days before. When was it finished? Like how long from start to finish?
The morning of. Like I, you know, I start pecking away at it, and I don't script it verbatim. I just, it's kind of, you know, a bullet point sort of like just reminders and road paths. So it's a little the night before, and then it's some the morning of. And now that we'll probably do it in a few more weeks, like I emptied the whole bag. I emptied the Trent file. So now I have to come with fresh stuff. And like, how many references can you make to like, you know, you hooked up with a bridesmaid at one of your own weddings? There's just little nuances. Like instead of saying, you could just say, I hooked up with a bridesmaid at my own wedding. And that's kind of a funny line, but it's at one of my own weddings. That is the little thing that takes it to the next level. So
the whole thing
I'll start writing the next one soon.
It's amazing. That one was amazing. Do you rehearse it at all? Or you're just saying, do you say it in your head?
Zero rehearsal. When we go out there, it's all live. There's no,
this is insane.
No anything. I don't know what Peter's going to say. No idea what he's going to say. He has no idea what I'm going to say. So it's real reactions. There's no blocking. There's no anything. And like, we hadn't been outside, which entails a lot of television production and a live broadcast to have outside access and cameramen and sound guys. We hadn't done it in two seasons of NFL of Good Morning Football. So we go down there and I'm like, this is probably going to be like, we're probably going to stumble on this one, but the second one we'll get it right. No, it was clean as a whistle and no rehearsal, no nothing. Just let it rip.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, that is a talent. And you, it's funny you say that you guys don't know what each other's going to say, because when the line about like Robert Woods, I rely on a Trojan or whatever it was, you know, Peter had a great reaction to it. I'm blown away by the fact that you just each write your own lines by yourself. Peter too was dropping like a Dixie D'Amelio. He was dropping like TikTok. I'm like, Peter, look
Richie
at this. I was like, who wrote that for Peter?
I apologized to Peter after the segment today, because, or last week, because I watched it back after the show. And I go, Peter, you had such good stuff and I can't hear any of it because I'm two blocks away in the background screaming at a stranger.
Right.
I wish I could laugh at your stuff and I wish I could ad lib with you. I apologize. He's, you're supposed to be doing what you're doing. But Peter's stuff is awesome.
No, it works perfectly. And I would assume you got more reaction to that Jared and Trent than any other, right? It seemed like it was going pretty well.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of welcome back and return to normalcy. The quarantine is really over. And the question I always get, which I think you've asked me before, is just like, how do you, quote unquote, get away with that type of stuff? How you're on the NFL Network. How are you saying those things? I get that question.
I thought I didn't think those lines would ruffle many feathers. I'll tell you what I saw recently was Nate came back for Nate's been doing like appearances.
Yeah.
And it was like last week or the week before, you guys were doing like all these inside jokes on your, how can I put this? Lack of ability to last too long in certain situations.
Oh, yeah.
That
sure.
I thought would get you in trouble. There are a lot of like 2 minutes and finish jokes that were going on.
If Nate and I doing innuendo humor would have gotten us in trouble, we would have been kicked off the air in the first week in 2016. Yeah. That's what we live for. And look, as far as Wall Streeters with that stuff, I know how to walk the line and to maybe kick it from an R to a PG-13. Like the line about Matthew Stafford goes to Robert Woods on third down, so we both know what it's like to trust a Trojan. Originally, I was going to say, because the truth is he hasn't been using Robert Woods a lot. I'm like, the only problem with him is that he's been ignoring Robert Woods. So he and I both know what it's like to choose not to use a Trojan, which is a little dirtier and a little less incorrigible, because it's unsafe sex. So I'm like, no, let me change it up a little. And I think
You need more of the innuendo there for sure.
Yes.
I would imagine, well, here's a good one then. When you do the next Jared and Trent in a couple of weeks or a few weeks, like you said, I would imagine we might get a couple of Urban Meyer references.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when a story like that comes out, does that kill you that you really can't go there on the NFL Network? Because that is ripe for fodder.
Nobody knows our show better than you do. It's the show that you wake up to, and we're going to tell you why football is great and why this is going to be a good day for you and why your team is going to win, and here's why. So if you wake up to this largely unliked guy in the media who you probably don't like, made some really terrible decisions in his family and his personal life, and it's embarrassing, and this is mortifying for this franchise who is winless, by the way, and hasn't won in 19 games or whatever it is. It's just not, I don't know. It's not what we do. And it's also like, looking, if there's something that's unsavory that is, or, worldly or whatever, that is headline breaking news, this has changed the world, of course we're going to do it. But we don't do that stuff that in any way, unless we really have to. And let's face it, a lot of the Urban Meyer story is the story because it's salacious and it's gratuitous. He didn't break any laws, I don't think. He didn't, do something to a player. He made some terrible choices in his personal life that were put in public. It's not football.
It did tie into football in that he didn't go back to Jacksonville with his team. And then the other part, which I think you guys could have gotten into, maybe you have, I'm not sure. But then after this whole incident is done, he goes, it's not my job to get them ready to play this week.
I know.
How do you say that?
It's a tough quote.
That's a bad one.
If we opened the show with Urban Meyer and, oh my gosh, here's the video and here's this and here's that, I don't know. Maybe our show would rate better. Maybe more people would watch. I don't know. But we have had a way of doing things for 5 years and it's served us well. And maybe the idea that we sacrifice some sort of numbers or something works out for the greater good of like the vibe that we have. But Jimmy, as a sportsman and as a guy, the Urban Meyer story is unbelievable, and I've spent many clicks on it, but I'm not being asked to really talk all about it at the table, and I'm not looking to.
Yeah. Couple of random things before I let you go.
Yeah, what do you got?
You had a terrible take recently on Good Will Hunting. What? Good Will Hunting?
Jimmy, I don't think that was the take. I think
you like The Departed better than Good Will Hunting. But in making your argument that The Departed was better in Good Will Hunting, you took some egregious shots at Good Will Hunting.
I did. I don't know if they're egregious. That might be your opinion. The question was, what is a more iconic Boston movie? We're talking about this on the air. The Departed or Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
I said The Departed is a significantly better movie, in my opinion, but The Good Will Hunting is a more iconic Boston movie. But then my segue was, and while we're talking about Good Will Hunting, has this movie aged well? And I don't mean in the cancellation sense of the, but I just mean like when you watch it now, are you like, oh my God, this is so corny and unbelievable. That scene between the bros with the beers and the scholar in the bar where they're having like a bar fight about 19th century economies in the colonies, like that has never happened. That will never happen. It's completely implausible. It makes for a great piece of dialogue on a page, but I'm watching this. I'm like, this is so stupid. They would never be like, yeah, and you're coming in here plagiarizing Gordon Wood, page 98. I'm like, fun scene, asinine scene. It just didn't age well for me.
It's a great movie.
I like the movie a lot. Although, you know what? The third man in on that, Jimmy, that everyone was saying on Twitter, it's not The Departed. It's not Good Will Hunting. It's The Town. Everybody loves The Town. I love The Town, too. But they're like, that's the Boston movie.
Yeah. I was completely stunned and shocked when the announcement came out last week that the Super Bowl halftime show was going to be Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting someone? I'm happy. I think it's going to be good. I think the halftime, I don't like any halftime show for this reason. And this is just my own sort of like OCD minutia type of thing. And I hate this when it happens at weddings. I hate this when it happens at a club. I hate this all the time. I don't like when songs get cut off. I want the full, I'm not into 1 minute of a song. I want the full song.
Okay.
So I get irritated all the time when that happens. But I have to say, I was a little surprised the NFL would give them the halftime slot. Were you surprised at all?
I was not surprised. No. I was excited. I really was.
Yeah.
Because most of the time it's someone that's kind of fine that you like, but like regardless of who you are, I bet you that you have had a moment where there's a Snoop song or a Dre song or an Eminem song that had you on the dance floor or Mary J. Blige and you were drunk and you were happy. My mind immediately, Jimmy, and maybe this is what you're getting at with partial songs, I immediately started thinking, all right, what's a set list here?
Like, right. That's
what are
right.
we doing?
Is there one Eminem song that can be played without, some heavy editing?
I've been thinking about it. I think he'll do Lose Yourself, which is, that's kind of a pregame locker room song and that one's okay. But then it's
makes
like,
sense.
So Snoop, like you can't do Gin and Juice. Like absolutely not. It's all endo and booze and all that. And then, so I figure like, all right, so is Snoop going to come out and do like Drop It Like It's Hot? Like, and do we want that from Snoop?
Right.
Because I want Doggy Style. I want Dre to come out and do Dre Day, and they can't, they can't.
That's,
do that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, yeah, I don't think we're getting Shake That by Eminem on Super Bowl Sunday.
Even like My Name Is and Real Slim Shady, like Real Slim Shady has the lyric about I'm going to sit next to Carson Daly and Fred Durst and hear him argue with whoever she gave head to first. I'm like, that's not happening.
Not happening.
So maybe they'll cut it up and maybe. So I guess the point is, could they do a song that has objectionable material in it, but do a different bar from that song? Or is it too close to, I don't know, but
I wonder if I don't think they would do it and then just bleep it. That makes no sense.
No, they can't.
Yeah. I think they got to just try to pick verses that, I mean, they can do certain songs that may be graphic and just do a verse that's,
that's clean. What I'm saying. Maybe you do second verse that does not talk about, Dre, Snoop talking about someone's tonsils,
Right. That's going to be fun.
Thanks, dude.
And Real Love is the best Mary J. Blige song, just for the record.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is a great song. Let me ask you this about football before you go.
Yeah.
I don't have a team that I root for. I used to be a Jet fan when I was a kid. Yeah, that's true. I root for who I bet on. But I will say this. Every season, I adopt a couple of players and teams who I love watching. I love the Chargers this year. The Chiefs, obviously.
Yeah.
Arizona. And then there are players that I get, like I that I just enjoy watching. That you know, like for me this year, you know who I love watching every Sunday Tell now me. is Taylor Heinicke. He's just fun to watch. Fun to watch. Just fun to watch, and you know, great story. Are there any players this year who have become Kyle Brand favorites?
Yeah, I like watching Herbert. I like watching Justin Herbert. Yeah. It's kind of cool too. Like, all right, so he looks cool. I like the optics of the hair out of the back of his helmet. Even though everyone has a problem with Rodgers, I like it on Herbert. He just looks effortless. I like the way he looks in his pads. I like his uniform. I like that he's not afraid. And I'm really digging this thing now that the Chargers basically have very, very little if no home field advantage. And this is a guy who played at Oregon at Autzen Stadium, had a huge home field advantage. And now he's taking the field at home on Monday Night Football, and he has to hold the side of his helmet so he can hear the plays. And I think it's making them tougher, and I think it's making them cooler. And I know it's like the Rams type of show, and they got all Larry Davids at their games and Mike Tyson and maybe the Chargers. I don't have shit, but they have a really good team, and I like watching them. I think I'm into it.
Since you mentioned Larry, it's coming back. Today's October 7th. Mm-hmm. It's coming back in 17 days. Now, what sucks is, I will say this, and this is going to make me sound old, and that's fine. It's going to come back, I guess, on a Sunday night, because it's always been on Sunday night. But you have NFL games on Sunday, so I hate that, but I know nobody watches anything live. You have to be a psycho to do that. You have to stream. Do you have an all-time – I hate when I get asked – I asked this question last week to in the train of thoughts, but I'll ask you. Do you have an all-time favorite Curb episode as we get ready for its return? Or even just a scene or line?
Well, I always love the idea of picking up a prostitute to go in the carpool lane, because L.A. is just a very carpool lane thing. But the scene with Bob Odenkirk when he's the porn star and he talks about the Tabasco up his ass, and that's the way that he stayed hard. And you look over at Cheryl and she's just like, we are leaving. Like and even Larry like wants to leave, is one of my all time favorite moments. But anything with Jeff, shit, Jimmy, I got to go, Jeff, man. I got this.
Yeah.
You can leave this in too. I'm the big, big media star. I have a Kansas City radio station calling me, and I've been flaking on them. I love you. Oh, thank you for having me.
Go talk about Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead.
All right. I love you, but I got to go.
Love you too. Take it easy. All right. Time for our weekly train of thought segment. That means we bring in my buddy from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, and on Twitter, Sal_Licata. Sal, how are you?
Great. Can I just ask you a quick question before we get started?
Yes, please.
So I've been going back and listening to all the pods, but before my segment, I just shut it off. I mean, you know, I lived it with you. Does that hurt as far as our listenership goes?
Like, no,
I want people to think that people are listening to us. And if I'm one who's clicking off before I get to my own segment with you, I want to make sure that's not a problem.
I think if you listen at any point, it helps. If you download, it helps. So, yeah, appreciate it.
Stephen A., by the way, was tremendous. I thought he was great last week.
Yes, I thought Stephen A. was great last week as well. He had some funny tweets last night during Yankees-Red Sox. We're taping this on Wednesday afternoon. Yankees-Red Sox was the evening before. This will come out on Thursday, so it'll be a little dated. But let me get one thing off my chest about that real quick. So, you know, I've made it very well known on Twitter that I love John Sterling.
Oh.
I tweet about him all the time. Love him. Was on did the pod, him and Susan, in person in 2019. So you could check that out in the archives. So obviously he has this really bad blown call on the Stanton bomb in the first inning that he called a home run that ended up being a single, which if you listen to John Sterling regularly, which I do, happens every week. It was not like, for people acting like this was a new thing, this is part of the reason I love him, because it happens all the time. But then I have all these people on Twitter sending me this clip as if this is the fascinating thing. Do you think I'm not going to like John Sterling because you send me that clip and he messed up a home run? Like, people want to, like, that's not going to make me turn on him. I don't know. Everyone just sending me that clip for like a half hour straight.
I was surprised that people were surprised that happened. I mean, that, like you said, that happened. The guy's 83 years old. Can we cut him a break, for goodness sake? Jeez.
But that's people who don't pay attention to the Yankees all season, coming in because it's a playoff game on a national level.
Right.
And they hear this.
Good point.
That shit happens all the time.
Right. Right. So. And worse ones, believe it or not. Right. And not that that was a good one, but I mean, it happens. I felt bad for Sterling as opposed to making fun of him. I mean, come on. The guy's 83 years old. He does a great job. He's as entertaining as a broadcaster as there is. And by the way, everybody thought that that was gone. TV guys as well.
Well, Viscursion called it gone too on ESPN.
Right. What the difference was after it hit the wall, he kind of knew that it wasn't.
Well, John didn't know. John had to figure out what was going on.
Poor John.
What do you make of the Viscursion A-Rod booth?
Oh my God. Viscursion, did you hear his "What up, Holmes?" after the click? Oh my God, cringeworthy.
No, I did not.
After Holmes got one of the double plays, I think it might have been a second double play in a second inning work, whatever it was, Viscursion. "What up, Holmes?" Oh my God, dude, so lame. I can't take either of them. I put it this way. I'd almost rather listen to Michael Kay. That's how bad that is with those two.
Not a fan of Michael Kay, I guess.
Well, you know, I think he does a radio call. I've actually warmed up to Kay a little bit, but he does too much of a radio call for TV for my liking, but it is what it is.
I get locked into Sterling, and I don't care about what kind of mistakes he makes.
Fascinating. Okay. So you watch it on mute? You watch the TV games on mute?
Mostly, yeah. Huh. Mostly. I'll pop it. You know, it depends what else. Like last night, I'm listening to John and Susan. I'm not.
No delay or anything? It's synced up?
You can pause it and sync it up. And I don't really. Sometimes I don't care about the delay. It's fine.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. This could be considered a train of thoughts topic. And this, again, we're taping this before it happens, but you're a huge, huge baseball fan. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious because we have this Dodgers Cardinals playoff game tonight. And I'm rooting for the Cardinals for one reason. I really don't care about either team, but I want to see the anarchy that ensues when the team with the second most wins in the sport, whatever it is, 102, 103 wins, the Dodgers, lose in a one-game playoff. People are going to be outraged because that's what people do. But listen, if this is the setup, this is the setup. What is your take?
Yeah, I don't think you could complain about it. You know, Yankee fans being sour because they're eliminated in one game, or in this case, be even worse. If, like you said, the team with the second best record, over 100 wins, they get ousted in one game. That's the setup. Now, if they want to change that moving forward, would I be opposed to it? No, not necessarily, but I like this the way that it is. Hey, tough. You know what? Tough. You don't like it? Win the division. You win more games than the Giants, and they didn't. The only reason why I want to see the Dodgers win, otherwise I'd be rooting against them, but I would like to see them versus the Giants. I think that that would be a great division series.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I'm with you as far as the people getting upset and just having the Dodgers out, who I can't stand anyway.
Oh, people are going to be pissed if the Dodgers lose and they're out after 100 and whatever it was, 2-3 wins.
And then you'd have L.A. and New York out of the postseason, which would not be good for baseball.
Yeah, Fox would not like that. We're going to go on to another train of thoughts topic here. Urban Meyer was the big story of the week. We'll get to him in one sec, but I want to ask you this quickly. I didn't tell you we were going to discuss this, but I saw it right before we came on. I find it fascinating that ESPN had all this controversy with Rachel Nichols, Maria Taylor. They're both gone. And now this week, ESPN names Mike Greenberg, the host of their studio show and the host of the NBA playoffs, NBA finals, all that stuff. I don't understand who's clamoring for more Mike Greenberg, but ESPN clearly wants to give us as much Mike Greenberg as possible. They're never going to be able to be as good as TNT, obviously, with Barkley and Kenny Smith and Shaq and Ernie Johnson. But can you come up with something a little more original than Mike Greenberg? I assume he got the job because it's just safe, vanilla, will never say anything to cause any trouble, which is what ESPN needs right now. But what is your take on that hiring?
It just those shows are unwatchable. It doesn't make any sense. The TNT, you would think that more people would follow that model and how they have that rapport and that cast with that chemistry. The ESPN ones over the years, I've never gotten into them for whatever reason. And Greenberg is fine with it. Look, radio, TV, ESPN, and these egos that get out of control there, they ruin themselves by either being overexposed, moving around too much. Just find a spot and go there. And it's funny because ESPN builds them up. They get paid ridiculous salary, and then half the people leave. And then the people that stay, it's like they're giving them 18 different jobs. So I'm not necessarily a fan of that particular move. I like Greenberg on the radio. Ever since then, and you think I'm watching that Get Up show? Come on now.
And I would love to know, like, if you're Mike Greenberg, like, do you really need another job? Like, can you say no Isn't that like you're doing Get Up, you're doing a radio show. Is it enough? You need to do that too? Like, can right. you let someone else do it? It's bizarre to me too, in this age where we're trying to get more women and more high profile jobs. They had two women have that job in Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor, and now it goes to the white guy,
both those girls did a great job, I thought, with the show. I like their personalities more so than Greenberg. And it's different. If you want Mike Greenberg, you get him in the morning. You get him on the radio. You don't need him there in that spot.
But the irony that Rachel Nichols ends up getting fired for all intents and purposes. I mean, it didn't happen, but it really did happen. Because she said ESPN was bumping her for Maria Taylor because of their crappy track record with minority hirings. And then the two women, including a black woman, are out. And then the white guy is in. Yeah. The way it worked out is just surreal from that standpoint.
Makes zero sense.
All right. Next train of thoughts topic, Urban Meyer. Now, there's a lot of layers to this because on one side, I think it's hysterical. On another side, I can't remember media and fans basically wanting the head of a guy so bad. And this was before the incident. Before this even happened over the weekend, there were people saying he should be fired after coaching like three or four games, which is, he's just so unlikable.
Right.
That he, you know, this is obviously, he brings this on himself. Now, put aside what happened in the bar, because we all know what happened and, you know, there's really nothing to add to that. There's two things here. The guy didn't fly back with the team. I texted a couple of NFL current former players I know. They said they've never heard of that. Highly unusual. Now, forget all that. This guy comes out on Tuesday and says, it's not my job to get the team ready to play this week. Have you ever heard a coach in any sport say anything so surreal ever?
No. I mean, think of how bad that is. And I don't even care about what he does at the bar. I do have a major problem with him. This is not college. It's not, you know, Pee Wee football. This is the NFL. How the hell do you let your players get on the team plane and you stay behind? If you want to go to Ohio on a couple of days off, you fly with the team back to Jacksonville, then you go to Ohio. It's not like he doesn't have the money. I mean, give me a break. So that was bad. But then saying that this is on the players, they'll take ownership of this. Urban, to me, it's like Costanza dragging around the World Series trophy in the parking lot. It's almost like he wants to get fired. He's doing everything that he can to get fired.
He has no business in the NFL from this standpoint. He's used to being the king, in Florida, Ohio State. He was the king. He could do whatever he wanted. He can't do whatever you want in the NFL. It just doesn't work that way. And I don't think
every team is Alabama. I mean, what'd you think was going to happen?
For a head coach to say it's not my job to get the team ready is one of them. I don't think there's been a more ridiculous sports quote I've ever heard in my life.
And he was asked about, I think just before I was going through Twitter as I woke up, that, he was asked about if he thought about quitting at all. I would bet anything that he will quit before the end.
Well, if he quits, he won't get his money. I think he'll try to work a buyout.
Fair.
For sure.
He may not make the season, and he definitely will not be back past this year, but he said no, he hasn't given any consideration to quitting. And then the reports of the locker room thought it was a joke with this guy. Right. How could they take him seriously? What a disaster it is for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville.
And the crazy thing is this all happened after, like, they played hard against the Bengals. I mean, that was their best game of the season. I also, when these things happen again, it's the stupidity that gets me more than the act. Now, listen, there was a video that came out where he's, like, putting his fingers in places they shouldn't go, and now you venture into, like, a sexual assault territories. But the optics and the stupidity, first of all, he lets his team go back to Jacksonville. He stays in Ohio to go to his own restaurant. Now, how do you think if you're in your own restaurant, you're not going to get recognized, number one? Number two, you're in a restaurant. How do you not expect people to take your picture and take videos of you?
That's what I mean.
The stupidity is off the charts.
Yeah, I just don't think he cares. I think he's probably depressed, embarrassed because his team is getting their rear ends kicked. I know they play hard, but still, to lose that game. I think he's embarrassed, just whatever, maybe letting loose. Now, I did not see that other video, but I mean, whatever. It's despicable from Urban Meyer, a guy who's as sleazy and as untrustworthy as you can find.
When you have the target on your back that he has from media and fans, you're not going to last. Like, it's just a matter of when now.
Put it this way.
His teammates hate him.
Right, exactly. He's being compared to Bobby Petrino, who is the lowest of the low. So, it's not going to end well. It's not starting well for Urban Meyer.
And if you want to know about Urban, I mean, if you ever watch the Aaron Hernandez doc that was on Netflix. Urban Meyer, just you could just tell, has no interest in rules or, you know, doing the right thing or anything. You know, go watch that if you want to.
Yeah, no moral compass whatsoever. Yeah.
Last train of thoughts topic, The Sopranos prequel, The Many Saints of Newark. We've both watched it. We texted and said we're not going to discuss it until the pod. So I don't know how Sal feels about it. He doesn't know how I feel about it. I'll let you go first. Your thoughts on The Many Saints of Newark.
Okay. Do I think it could have been better? And I've seen the reviews and people are killing it. I do think it could have probably been better, but I enjoyed it. As a Sopranos fan, I wanted to feel some of the, you know, the before what we knew stuff. And you did get that. Now, my biggest issue, however, was casting. I didn't like the guy that they had that played Silvio. I hated the guy that they had that played Paulie. I thought Tony's son, you know, James Gandolfini's son, I thought he was fine. But I thought the casting overall was very disappointing and it could have been better. Other than that, I liked it. I like seeing those guys younger. I like seeing some of the stuff, you know, the scene where Tony's father took Janice to the circus or whatever, to see that being brought up again. There were a lot of tie-ins that if you were a real Sopranos fan, you got into. And for me, at the end of it, although it wasn't as good as I thought it could have been, it left me wanting more of it. So I thought overall it was fine. I'm glad I didn't go pay for it at the movie theater, but I enjoyed it for the most part.
I have a lot of similar, you know, I'm with you on what you said about the casting of Silvio. Yeah. Another buddy of mine, I think it was my buddy Andy Gray, former SI colleague, texted me 0 to 100. What did you give it? Now most people go 0 to 10. That's why I love Andy. He went 0 to 100.
There's a lot in between there. 0 to 100.
And I said 65. I really disliked it until the last maybe half hour. I love the twist at the end. Mm-hmm. I won't even say it in case it's a spoiler, but it has to do with who kills Dickie Moltisanti. I liked that twist. I thought that was good. My issues were, one, it never felt like the show to me. It never felt like the show. I appreciated some of the callbacks, but they were almost done in this way that, you know, that you had Junior do the line about he's not a varsity athlete.
Right.
You know, Paulie, at one point they have him like putting nail polish on his nails. And if you remember in the Pine Barrens episode, he's getting a manicure when Tony tells him he needs to go get the money from the Russian. So I appreciated that stuff. It never felt like the show. I thought it got too, it was almost too over the top, and you know, like the Silvio stuff and the Paulie stuff didn't feel authentic to the show to me. One thing that also freaked me out, and I don't know if this was intentional by David Chase, and I'm sure it was because he's so wrapped up in the psychology, therapy, mother issues. The woman who played Livia in the movie, who was nothing like Livia in the show, reminded me so much of Edie Falco and Carmella. Yes. So I was wondering if they were trying to do, you know, you marry your mother, you marry your father, that whole shtick.
Interesting.
Because I kept thinking it was like a Carmella knockoff.
And she looked like her too. You could just, you're right.
And the mannerisms. Yeah. But I thought she was nothing like Livia on the show. You know, disappointed, but I had low expectations going. I shouldn't say I was disappointed because I had low expectations going in. And to me, it didn't feel like The Sopranos, the show.
I think that's well said. It didn't feel like that. I don't know. I enjoy any kind of tie-in, any kind of callback. Again, I thought it could have been better. Casting could have been better. How about Ray Liotta? Does he have to play two characters?
Well, that
made no sense to me.
Not only did it make... I just didn't enjoy his performance.
Yeah,
I thought it was bizarre. I thought it was just bizarre. It didn't feel natural at all to me. It felt like it felt like a Saturday Night Live sketch where they were spoofing The Sopranos. The first half hour, the first half hour is all about Ray Liotta's character. Like I said, I did like the second half of the movie way more than the first half. Mm-hmm. But that first half hour, all that Ray Liotta stuff, felt like a Saturday Night Live spoof sketch. It didn't seem like he was being authentic at all to me.
The only thing for me, as somebody who, and I think we're all in the same boat, right? If you're a Sopranos fan, you love the show, you can't get enough of it. So I love the storyline. So the callbacks to me made it exciting, and thinking about, you know, Chris Moltisanti and all those different, you know, okay, and this is how it happened, and Tony and Paulie and stuff. So all those different things, and Uncle June and Carmella, how they even had that in there a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I love all of it. Now, it could have been done a lot better. It could have been casted a lot better. And then there's also spinoffs where you could imagine, okay, well, you could do a backstory on this guy and this guy. I don't know if Chase wants to do that, but there are endless possibilities. It could have been done better, but it's somebody who can't get enough of that storyline. That's why I enjoyed it. I think your grade is probably a fair one. I mean, if we did it on a normal scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably say the same thing, 6, 6.5, yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't know if you could go much higher than that. But overall, I enjoyed. I watched it. I got locked in. My wife fell asleep, but naturally, she didn't like. I got locked into it. I enjoyed it. And I would watch it again, as a matter of fact.
All right. Speaking of locked in, I love getting your take on like these sort of things with your married life and your baby and your 78
oh,
jobs.
God. Yeah.
Sunday morning at 9:30, will you be locked into Jets? You're a Falcons fan.
Yeah.
And you work in New York radio. So you have Jets Falcons at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. What's the Sal Licata plan?
This is one of those non-negotiable, like, I have to watch games. Now, we have this baby blessing, which is kind of a you know, baby, I don't even know, not confirmation. What's the baptism?
Communion, a baptism.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I told my wife for lunch, she's like, oh, I got to go get my hair done and this done. I got to pick up the cake and all that. And people are coming at, I scheduled it. I said, okay, if we're going to do it on this Sunday, it's got to be this particular Sunday because the Jets play early, which works, and the Giants play at 4. So there's that window from about 12:30 to 4 where we could have people and I could be distracted for a little bit. And after that, get them out so I could go get into Giants Cowboys. But she's like, oh, I got my hair done at 8 o'clock. I was like, well, the game starts at 9:30. So however you have to figure out your day, I need to be able to watch Jets Falcons from London at 9:30. Basically,
what time are people arriving at your house?
I think 12:30, between 12:30 and 1.
All right, so you're out. So 12:30. All right, so if it's, wow, you get like, you know, if it's like 24:24 with a minute to go, people start ringing the doorbell, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, I figured, I don't know.
Oh, no. Yeah, 9:30. Yeah, 12:30. You're getting right at the end of the game.
It's right there. So most people, I don't know if she told them one. I hope that she did. I might have said 12:30 by mistake. Oh, yeah, it should be over around 12:30. But you're right. It should be done by more so 12:45, 1, something like that. Anyway, I should be able to get that in.
And then will they be out of there by 4:25?
Probably not, but I will. I will be downstairs watching a game. I don't care what's going on up there. Family, food, the cake.
I don't even know. What is the four? What's
Giants
the big
Cowboys. That's a big one at 4:25. Okay. For me, that's the big one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you could have a whole bunch of family upstairs eating cake, taking pictures. You go down, Giants Cowboys.
100%. I mean, at the very least, I'll have it on the TV upstairs, but it can't be around that chaos. You understand how much this is bothering me that I am throwing away a football Sunday?
Yeah.
I just enhanced the setup. I brought another TV. I can't wait to have you over because you are going to love it. Because we discussed this in week 2 when you were here. Well, now it's set up properly to where there's a secondary big TV, a small third TV. We could split the game. It's perfect. So you'll see in the following week. If you can't come this week, obviously, because of the baby blessing, following week. But I'm bothered that I got to give one of these up.
It's great. I like that it's going on when you have Jets Falcons. As a Falcons fan, it's the 9:30 London game. It's a mess for you.
If that game were at 1, I don't think the baby blessing would be taking place. I looked at the schedule and said, all right, of the two Sundays that I was given an option for, this was the better because I thought I could try to squeeze it into that window at least before Giants, after Jets Falcons.
Well, I cannot wait for next week's podcast and next week's Train of Thoughts to hear how it all broke down for you. I'll be very curious to see if you're able to get to the basement at 4:25, if you get the end of the Jet Falcons game in. I already can't wait for next week to hear about
you,
it.
You already know how it's going to end. Not pretty. I mean, these things never go as planned or go the way that you want to as far as enjoying these games.
I am anxiously awaiting the Sunday texts from you. All right. Well, good luck Sunday. Congrats on the baby blessing. I'm sure you're thrilled about it. Good luck with the Falcons. And, we will see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Take it easy. All right. My thanks to Kyle Brandt and Sal Licata. Fun podcast. Enjoyed it. Hope you guys did too. If you did, subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. Leave a review on Apple, 5 stars, and I will read it next week. And if you missed any recent episodes, check them out in the archive. Stephen A. Smith on the pod last week. Bryan Danielson from AEW and Andrew Marchand 2 weeks ago, Jimmy Kimmel and Cousin Sal 3 weeks, 3 weeks ago, Tony Romo on the pod 4 weeks ago. All those interviews in the archives, give them a listen if you missed any. And again, subscribe, rate, and review. And the reviews will be read next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, that wraps it up for this week. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.